Let us begin with this. Should we do a little blah, 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 blah? Hang on. Are you recording? This is official. Things are going.
It's recording. And look, mistakes happen. It's a new computer. It doesn't record well through the dongle.
The dongle is what's killing us, huh?
It doesn't do it. It's recording fine on the old computer.
Well, today's April 9th, 2018. To my right, I got Fargini. To my left, I got Buddy. I'm 100. And I think we should just start talking about Carsio. Let's talk about Carsio. Hit it, Pedro. There you go. And I still miss the music from the live studio and all that stuff. It's so nice to have that. Yes. But we got the list of equipment. Everything is getting done.
Yep, yep.
So we're going to be
little tools.
Exactly. We're going to be up and running before you know it.
Yes.
And I'll be in debt before you know it.
I'll be honest with you. I'm a little disappointed in the decision that we're making.
Why?
Look, I love the idea of having our own studio. I think it's awesome doing our own thing. But we were so close to a delicious spot for after our recordings.
I know. We had
I don't want to let that go, man.
Let me tell you something. That is gone. That is long gone. Do you agree?
Have a positive mindset. We might find the new place, the new place.
Yeah, exactly.
I
have a warm up question for you guys since we haven't done this in like 3 weeks or like 8 months, whatever it's been.
Yeah.
I have a random question for you because it's been a while.
Yeah.
What car would you like to buy next?
Ooh.
Like what's coming out that's exciting? That you would say, you know what, that. Look, and don't go BP23.
No.
Don't go, like, let's go with cars that, even though they're going to be expensive, people are going to be like, huh, that's a normal car?
Yeah.
It's like a cool, like a Porsche Panamera.
Okay, I got one.
GT3.
I got one too. I got one.
Do you, Fargini?
Just today, Mercedes, I don't know if we're going to talk about it, but just today they announced by 2020 or 2021, they're going to have the S-Class of electric cars. They even said it like that, like the S-Class of electric cars.
So an electric S-Class.
exactly.
So far, I just got to check that topic off the list.
We'll get to it because it's interesting all around what's happening.
And I thought that's interesting. Yeah, I'd love to drive the S-Class of electric cars.
But that's not coming out soon. They're saying that it's coming out like by 2020. What car would you buy that's coming out within the next 12 months?
Can I pick Trackhawk?
Pick whatever you want. Trackhawk. Yeah, that's exciting.
Trackhawk. That's coming out?
Nothing that's coming out excites you more than the Trackhawk.
No, nothing.
Okay. What about you? And that's fair. That's absolutely fair.
I want the 570S Spider. I want it more than anything. Yeah. If I could take money and put it in a car, that's the one that I want. I'm obsessed with that car.
Are they not on the streets yet?
Yeah.
Oh, we saw those ladies.
We saw one the other day.
Yeah, we saw two ladies from New York on one.
Yeah, they're on the streets. Look. It's just one of those cars that you feel like you're so close to being able to get, but you still can't get it. And like, that's the one, like I want it.
Well, it's got a great performance. It's got great looks.
The handling on that car. Like it's glued to the road.
Yeah.
It's such a monster. And the colors that they come with. The color schemes that they have.
The leather, the two little things.
What about the leather on the back that makes it look like the Huayra Roadster?
Yeah. Yes.
Like what's not to love about that car?
It's disgusting how great it is.
We were pulling out of Soho this morning, Rodrigo and I told him, dude, I wish I could sell this car, like my 720, and just buy a 570S Spider for the time being. And then with the next 720S light car that comes out with the proper spec, everything, just buy that. Like, yeah. I'd love
to
do that.
That's many years away, right?
That's why I know. Like, there's no point. I'm loving my 720, and I don't think there's anything. There's nothing that excites me right now.
I got another one.
I know. What?
Oh, the GT500.
That is the only car that I'm really curious about because everyone seems to be on a brand new hype and an entire new level of excitement.
There's some mystery behind it.
Like, why?
It's the greatest Mustang.
Why?
It's the ultimate Mustang.
I know, but back in the day, there was always excitement about the Shelby Mustang.
Yeah, the Shelbys. Yeah.
But that's a GT500.
Yeah.
But this one feels like I think more special.
Because you finally feel like this is the moment where Ford is going to like stick with tradition rather than stay with the old kind of boring design. Like they're gonna like go back into the drawing book and it's gonna like have a lot of that heritage in it and it's gonna be mean and strong and powerful, everything that you expect for it to be, rather than just like a stock Mustang.
No, of course. I mean, every Shelby comes with I like to call it a fuck you amount of power, which is more than anyone needs. Yeah. And that's why most people just, you know, people take people on the sidewalks and all of that stuff. It's because of that, because the car comes with so much power. But I'm wondering what's going to be, because, you know, now cars are getting so good. Electronics, the leather, interiors, performance, reliability, just the noises, how quiet they are inside and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how this is going to be.
Well,
what's so special about this one?
I think this is going to be the greatest, you know, fuck you power Mustang, but the most refined and able to put it down. And I think it's going to put numbers out.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think it's going to be
epic. This is going to be one that it's because in a weird way, and people are going to be very mad after I say this, and I'm sorry, and I hope you can see it, you being a Ferrari guy. Mm-hmm. To me, the Mustang is the Ferrari of the regular cars. Like, it's wild. It's noisy. You can't control it that easy. Like, if you really step on it, it's going to go. And that's what happens on the sidewalks and all that
stuff. A lot
stuff.
Of heritage.
In a weird way, yeah. It's in a very
They both cheap- have a horse. One is a cheaper horse than the other
the
one.
The other one. I didn't think about that. I really didn't think about that. Well
one's
done.
One's an Italian stallion. Yeah. The other one's just an American horse.
The other one's a Mustang.
Yeah.
It's a horse, of course.
It's the horse.
But, I think this time around, this one is going to be more special than ever. And I'm getting my Hellcat hopefully this week. I'm waiting on Danny to just confirm with me that the car is here, that we're ready to go. I'm set, man. The guys at Galpin are ready. Did you pick your Farghini Gold?
No, they've been working on it, though. We got to go. They've been working on it.
No,
are
you sure? It's picked. It's picked. Your Farghini Gold has been picked.
But I haven't picked it. How can they pick it?
Because they're waiting for you. They're waiting for you to go. Okay. Oh wow! Yep. And look at it. They're waiting for that on camera moment. Right, but it's been picked. I've seen it.
All right.
Really?
I've seen it with my eyes.
Okay. Is it crazy?
It's a beautiful gold.
Is it worthy? Is it worthy?
It's a beautiful gold.
Good. Because I'm going to do that to my Hellcat.
That's amazing.
It's a beautiful gold.
And now, what the question here is: will the Shelby GT500 be better than the Hellcat to the point where I'm going to be like, all right, goodbye, Hellcat.
Define better. Quickly define better.
All right. They're both two-door cars, lots of power to the rear, great sounds, entertaining fun. That's what the Hellcat brings, right? Yep. Will the Mustang do it better all around? And I don't mean like it doesn't have to handle like crazy. I know it'll be quicker than the Hellcat.
I think it's going to handle better. I think it's going to handle better. No, and put the power down better.
Already a regular Mustang does that. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm just saying
the Hellcat's got this special thing, which is it looks insane. It sounds great. It's playful.
It's point A to point B. That's the Hellcat. Point A to point B. You start here, you go here. How fast can you get there?
Yeah.
And how strong does it feel? Yeah. That's all it wants.
Yeah.
Right.
And also, I think a Ford GT500 guy, like driver, could beat up any other like Challenger.
I don't know, man. I feel like a Challenger guy is like if I'm thinking of a Challenger guy, it's the guy that's drunk. Like he's had a couple beers already, and he's wearing a basketball jersey without anything underneath it. Got a couple tattoos that he regrets, no question about it. And look, I'm a big fan of the car, and I had one, and I'm buying another one. But this is what I picture, like a really tough guy that's just finishing his beer, and then he's spitting out the tobacco chew that he's got. All right, let's fight.
Are we talking about Hellcat or a Corvette?
No, the Hellcat. That's what I picture, like a Hellcat guy.
Yeah.
A Mustang guy? Can I tell you what I picture a Mustang guy?
Not just
guy?
Any Mustang guy. A GT500 guy. Those are different guys.
I picture, guy. And this is, and again.
It's just like F-150 and Raptor guys.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do this. Hang on, let's do this. Yeah. And then you guys
know what I'm talking about.
And you guys describe him later. I picture a Mustang guy to be like a fat guy without a t-shirt. And he's wearing like just shorts and sandals.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And he's like, he drives like crazy.
Okay.
But you wouldn't expect it. Like when you look at him, you're like, no way this guy can drive. And he just gets in that Mustang, even though he barely fits. And he just rips it. Like that's what I picture a Mustang owner to be like.
And you're picturing the Challenger guy, a more fit, has his shit together a little bit better.
You know, when you're like jacked fat.
Yeah, like that. Okay.
Yeah. Like, you're a little bloated, but you're still like that. You know, you got like still big arms and everything. That's what I picture him. Huh. And then I'll give you the Camaro.
The Camaro guy. I don't know the Camaro guy too much.
The Camaro or Corvette guy?
The Camaro. Okay. I'll give you the Camaro guy. And then I'll give you the Corvette guy.
Okay.
The Camaro guy is an immigrant, like a Persian guy, a Mexican guy, anything like a darker guy. That wears a leather jacket that doesn't know why he bought that car. I legit, every time I see someone in a Camaro, that's what I think they are. And they have like sunglasses, like dark sunglasses. It's all one person. I'm pretty sure every Camaro is owned by the same person. He just duplicates himself as we go on the road.
what do you envision a Corvette guy?
Can I give you my Corvette guy?
Yeah.
My Corvette guy is the guy that wears the wife beater, basketball shorts, Air Ones, like...
Basketball shorts and Air Ones?
Yeah, that's what I... Hang on, this is just my take on the guy with the Corvette. he's wearing a hat, but he wears it sideways. He's got a gold chain, but like one of those cheap ones.
Uh-huh.
And he wears those sweating things that you go like this at the gym, that, right? On one of his wrists.
Who are you describing? Like a white Harlem Globetrotter.
That's why picture. Now, hey guys, if you're joining us, if you're listening to the podcast, well, you probably can't do it unless you're with your friends. I'd love for you guys to discuss what you picture each one.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're watching the video, please let us know in the comments down below how you see each one. Fargini, how do you see each one?
The Corvette guy, I see jeans with a lot of studs in them. Do you know what I'm talking
like
about?
Like an Ed Hardy guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Corvette guy, more of an Ed Hardy guy.
Like when you look at him, you're like, ugh, you're maybe 10 years too old to be wearing those studded jeans.
Because you're picturing an older guy driving the Corvette.
Yeah. So me for the Corvette, that's similar to what I picture. Not with the studded jeans and stuff, just the guy who wants to get into motorcycles, but his wife won't let him.
But he's at that age.
And he still uses
Corvettes, though. Like that's a proven guarantee. What you're talking about is like the old traditional Corvette owner. The guy who wasn't able to get like the motorcycle that he wanted, the sports car that he wanted, and he bought a Corvette.
Yeah.
But I think the new ones, a new breed of people, no?
This is still the same guy. It's still the same guy.
But he still uses hairspray.
No question about it.
As an adult, you know?
My guy's balding and he's using this to overcompensate for it a little bit.
But he's still maybe using hairspray. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. What does a Mustang guy look in your minds?
Okay, so I have two different. There's a Mustang guy, and then there's the Shelby GT500 guy.
Give me a Mustang because the Mustang is more general.
A Mustang guy is like a U.S. Marine, like recruit guy.
Like a badass.
Yeah.
Really fit, in shape, badass. Yeah,
that's actually how
he knows how to do a lot of things.
That's how I envision.
Like a white guy, clean-cut white guy from the Army.
Yeah.
I kind of have a white guy like that, but mine's a guy that's
no
like business in the front, party in the back kind of guy. I could see him with a mullet,
like Zach.
No doubt about it. Like Zach, exactly. That's who I could see driving a Mustang. I could even see him driving a GT500 as well.
Oh fuck, you would love that.
No doubt. Yeah. And I could also see somebody like Street Speed Mike driving a Mustang. Huh, Mike? Huh?
I actually, Mike, we love you, and we're concerned about you because of your GMC addiction. What's wrong with you, man?
He looks more like a Mustang guy.
What's wrong with you, man? You look more like a Mustang. I'm totally just.
And one day, could he tell us what the fuck is a GMC? Like, is it above or below?
No, let me tell you this. What's a Duramax?
Or let us know what a Duramax is.
Because I thought those were condoms. I legit, legit. Duramax, like what? You last longer.
Yeah, whatever it is, I want it. Do we need it?
I thought they were for a long time. This is no disrespect to the GMC guys. I've never experienced your trucks.
I think there really is a Duramax condom. I legitimately think so. Hold on. I think that's a real thing.
I legitimately
your mind
think so.
Isn't slipping you.
I wouldn't know. Yeah, I wouldn't know. I don't know what this
is. You don't know what condoms are, huh? You've proven it.
Yikes.
So are they?
Oh, no, they're Durex.
Oh, hang on. But aren't they close?
Very close. Very close.
So my mind
enough
instantly...
Enough for even me to Google it.
Enough for my mind to go, no, Alejandro, they were called Duramax. And also, they sound like concrete on your dick.
I see Alejandro going to the CVS. Hi, can I get a box of Duramax, please?
Who asked for condoms behind the shelf? Who does that?
No.
Just grab them off the shelf.
And then you get to the front of the line and you're like looking everywhere. Like, I don't want this person. If you think about it, it's pretty awesome. You're about to get laid and they're looking at you like, leave with your condoms. And you're like, all right, thanks.
Isn't that weird? Like, you're going in there, you're buying condoms, but you do feel gross buying the condoms knowing that you're actually about to do something awesome. You know what
That's
I mean?
Weird. No, it's weird.
But people judge you, and you're like, "Why are you judging me? Like, I'm playing it safe here." Hey,
no. I'd be like, "Motherfucker, this condom is getting used right now. What are you doing? That's the mindset that you need at the cashier.
You know what you should do? You should buy vegetables too, like bananas and cucumbers along with it.
Always wanted to do that. Like you just buy a bunch of random stuff and just throw it on the belt and let them figure it out.
So buy something for it, like a Vagisil type of cream. Herpes medication, condoms.
And spearmint gum.
Well, you can throw the gum, no question. Everybody needs gum. And Pepto-Bismol would be...
I'm guessing.
Pepto-Bismol would be good.
A douche or enema?
No. A bag of Cheetos.
Oof.
And a random bag of something kind of weird material.
And do it on the self-checkout line and have problems with it.
Hang on. Not only that, but what about duct tape?
Oh,
duct tape would be good. You just take it out.
Also get a mop bucket. A mop bucket is a good one to throw in there, right?
And walk out of there. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. What do we got today, car talk wise? What?
Wait, I just want to keep talking about this. I'm having a blast. I know.
That's what the radio show is for, though.
So speaking of a mess, we're going to hop into some BMW news.
Who got injured? Yeah, who got fucked up? What happened?
How many BMWs exploded?
Oh, God. Well, we missed last week or 2 weeks ago. It's all blending together where BMW actually got raided for diesel. They were doing like
Hold on. So hang on. Raided, not rated.
Everyone listening, right? We already made like a full podcast that never made the light of day, like never saw the light of day because the sound was fucked. So
thanks to the new dongle. That doesn't work.
That's right. So we talked about this.
And we'll sell it for $1 million.
Absolutely. No. So we talked about this in on that podcast. So I'm
I just want to briefly touch
why
on
not?
That. BMW is getting into the Dieselgate game. So good for them. And it's only fitting that this week the headlines are BMW commits more money than ever to electric vehicles. Rolls-Royce electric vehicle likely coming as response to Chinese
demand. Mind you, last week we're talking about how BMW is responsible for also lying and cheating on their testing, right?
Yep.
So that means they're doing exactly the same thing that VW did. They're destroying the environment. They don't give a shit. They got caught. And before they got caught, they were like, no, Rolls-Royce is like 10 years out before they do their first electric car. We were just talking about it, read that.
They're like, we're not ready yet.
Story breaks. BMW is like a piece of shit, like VW. And then BMW is like, well, the consumer demand in China, like we should really just make this EV.
And for environmental reasons, we should go EV anyways.
Hey, can I just say, what a great thing to do out of your own heart. The goodness of your own heart, BMW.
They're throwing an extra $2 billion at this
from
program.
From $6 to $8 billion they want to spend on the R&D for electric cars. They sold 100,000 models last year, and they got an increase of 40%. They sold 140,000.
65?
Yeah, 65. Wait, of electric vehicles?
Yeah, they sold 140-something thousand electric vehicles together this year compared to the year before.
But they don't have fully. They're all hybrids.
Well, hybrids.
Well, the i3 is fully electric.
No. Then hybrids. No. These are all electric.
BMW iPerformance, your BMW iS, your Mini Electrics. I mean, there's a lot. They sold over 100,000. They want to get 140,000 this year. But
that's the goal.
Yeah, by the end of this year, 140,000. But by the end of 2019, 500,000.
Yeah, that's significant.
That's a huge number. Yeah. And I think that because in 2019, that's when those two new electric cars come out, right? Which?
The Renvo? Renovo?
What the fuck are you talking about?
What you saw this weekend at Soho House.
The Karma Rivera.
No,
we're talking about BMW.
That's not a real car. That's just a Fisker.
I thought you meant electric
rebranded.
Cars. I thought you meant electric cars.
It's not electric. It's a hybrid.
Oh. They couldn't even do electric on that?
We're not having this conversation today. No. We're not going down this road. I'm putting the kibosh on it right now.
That's fine. I agree with you. But BMW is getting hard into the game. Now, Rolls-Royce followed suit by saying, because Rolls-Royce is owned by BMW for those of you guys who don't know, Rolls-Royce came in and said, well, yeah, we did say that we were not going to make a Rolls-Royce electric, all electric Rolls-Royce, because the technology is there. But you know what? The demand from China
was just too crazy.
It was just too crazy for us not to notice last week, but this week we did.
We're going in.
It's really good. Really good. So they're obviously doing this for the environment and just because they're really good at it.
Yeah, but the articles that they're discussing and talking about this is that just the battery technology isn't there for Rolls right now. They can't do it. They're waiting for the density of these batteries to get larger because right now the capacity only allows for the size of their vehicle, 120 mile range.
But the 2020 batteries that are coming out now, those should be good.
They're saying so. If you think about it, year over year, the growth in batteries has like tripled. So in 2015, when the Concept One came out and Rimac introduced, actually, it wasn't the Concept One, it was for the Regera that Rimac introduced that battery cell.
Correct.
That was 60 kilowatt hours per pound feet of torque.
I actually don't know that.
And now what they need to get to is they need to get to roughly 300. So just think about the growth of the density of the battery.
I don't think by 2020 they're going to have that problem.
They're saying that for them to get there, and this was in 2015, like 8 to 9 years.
You know what?
So
you know
it's going to be tough.
You know what annoyed me about this? That they're all saying, no, 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 we ain't touching it. And all these big companies are only doing it because they're like, fuck.
A make good.
We're so late. No, no, no. Either a make good for like VW, BMW, yep, all of these guys. Or the other one is the guy who's like, fuck, man, we never got into it. We should right now. And they're just going to rush through it without like really taking their time and developing this.
Because you got to get something to market.
To me, the idea should be, and the simplest way is just make all of your models offer the same one, but in electric. An electric version of your C-Class, the 5 Series.
They have to start developing that today for the future.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It bothers me that they didn't do that and they only did it whether they're reacting towards a huge fuck up that they destroyed the environment or have been doing really bad stuff and people found out and now they're going to put up their make good face. Yeah. And the other one is that they're just reacting late to the market. Mm-hmm. Like we've been doing this for like 3 years now and talking about this for 3 years.
Yeah.
And now people are like, oh, car makers, like you guys, come on. How our industry is disappearing. Your own industry is disappearing. And we're not reacting fast. We're not doing anything quick.
Now let me ask you this. Would you miss that V12 engine in the Rolls?
If I get an electric Rolls?
Yeah.
No.
No, not at all.
No.
No way.
The whole point of that car is to be smooth.
But what about with the news that AMG is saying that they're going to stop the V12 production? Would you miss that? I mean, cuz that's a legend.
I would miss the AMG V12 if there was no electric options. So AMG has just said out loud and publicly admitted that there's no purpose for using their V12 anymore. They will, however, still make it for sub brands. So not for AMG,
like
but for example,
like your S-Class.
No, Pagani. Pagani's a sub brand for Mercedes. So if they need V12s for whatever, they'll make them. But for themselves, they said
so.
No,
so they
more.
Will. They will keep making them. We will see them in the Pagani.
That's right.
But they won't be in the AMG products.
No. And what there's and also the other thing that they have to look at is even though Pagani's like, yeah, we'll keep making the V12s, Pagani shouldn't still make V12 cars. They should go electric or power assisted or something because it's retarded.
I think that there's something just nostalgic about people, like they love the harmonious like working of a V12 engine. Like it's such a big beast that it is. It's kind of like a petrol head turn on, right? Like,
of course, man. When you buy a car and when you're able, well, first of all, when you realize like what the car scene is like and what the things that you want and what are the things to aspire to are. You immediately know that a V12 is one of the highest things up there on that list, right? Like, if you're a car guy, you want to buy a car. At some point, you want to buy a car with a V12. Am I lying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. Right? Of course.
So everyone obviously wants that. But with current technology and everything, and just by sitting in Mercedes all the time, we've driven like 65s, whatever. 63s, yeah. They're slower than the 63s. Mm-hmm. They don't feel like punchier. Now, I like it a lot, that V12 engine on the S-Class. I love it. I had an S65 that I absolutely adored because it's way more quiet, because it's way smoother compared to the, it's not nervous like the 63. It gives you like that real feeling of kind of like an electric car.
Yeah, the closest thing you can get.
But now this is giving you, once the S-Class comes out full electric, you don't need any of those things. Nope. You don't need a V12 to be like nice and quiet and like, smooth revving and all that stuff. You just have the electric power and let's go.
Yep.
And the same thing goes with the Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
I love, and they're saying the first Rolls Royce that they're going to try to do this on, it's going to be the Phantom, the new Phantom. And
it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
That's the big car. That's where you test all of your technology. And speaking of the new Phantom, you know, with the Cullinan putting our deposits in and all that stuff, now we're going to get the cars October, November of this year.
No way.
Yeah. And here's the big deal about this. They are using, at least this is the rumor, the platform off the Phantom for that Cullinan. So the X whatever is using the same platform from the Phantom and also the Cullinan.
Wait, you're talking about the X7?
The awesome SUV that we saw with the major glass roof?
Yeah. Ooh. So they're saying of course. So that chassis comes from the Phantom.
Called it.
By the way, it's become the Touareg of the BMW group.
They did.
Do you know what I mean?
By the way, the Phantom.
Yeah.
But that's what speaks of BMW group. BMW group, like how much they give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like they're that level of shit they're throwing into every other car.
Yeah, because now when you get an X7, you're going to be like, yo, this is a Cullinan fucking chassis.
It is a cheap Cullinan right now. Yeah, you're getting a good deal.
I hate to even call that cheap. You know what I mean? Like, that's such a beautiful, gosh. Like that guy said that day at the auto show, if it's 90% of this.
Oh, that's it. My God.
Just tell me what 10 I'm losing, and I'll be fine with it.
Yeah.
You probably don't even have to tell me. I probably won't even notice.
No, they were beautiful. I think BMW design has stepped it up like crazy.
No doubt.
But we are moving into an electric world, and I'm glad, even though they're doing it out of not the goodness of their heart, but out of necessity, out of need.
Hey, whatever it is, it pushes it forward.
It's pushing us forward. I absolutely agree.
Do you guys want to stay in some BMW news?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, BMW.
What else you got?
So BMW actually announced the pricing models on their subscription service. Did you guys see that? Did you see that they're doing a subscription service?
Let me bring it back to you guys. I think car ownership is dying a little bit. And not a little bit. Car ownership is dying.
Ownership in general is dying. It's all going out the window.
By the way, that's good and bad. Bad for those who don't know how to make investments in certain ways outside of real estate, for example. Like, how are you going to make money and put it into what? That's always a question. To me, real estate has always been the easiest answer. Cars are not. It's good that you don't own a car. They always depreciate. Only very few cars appreciate. And most of the cars that you guys are buying, that I'm buying, are not those cars.
Yeah.
Those are really fucking expensive cars. So let's not touch those. Ownership is disappearing on Earth. And that's fine, because you know what? When you die, doesn't matter how many millions of dollars it says that you have, how many houses you have, you can't take those with you. So that's fine. I understand that. But in the car world, that is scaring me just because people don't know what to do with their money. Mm-hmm. But in the car world, I think it's great. It's just a new way of things. It's just a new way. We have leases in the US, which became really popular because when you lease a car, you're just paying for the depreciation up front.
Of the duration that you have the car.
Like, let's pretend that you have a car for 2 years and it costs $100,000, and then you sell it in 2 years for $60,000 and you lost $40,000. Instead of putting $100,000 down and just getting a check back 2 years later for $60,000, within 2 years, you're making payments on the $40,000 that you're losing anyways. That's a lease.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, like, in the simplest term possible. And that became really popular. So people stopped financing cars because also when you lease, you don't pay for the entire sales tax. Correct. You only pay for the tax that you use the car for, which is ideal. And then whoever buys the car from you, that dude pays for the full bill.
Yep.
Unless he also leases a car, then that's still no one's problem.
And also the write-off aspect of a lease over a finance.
Absolutely. Because you can absolutely 100% write off a car if it's for your business and you can show that it's for your business and you're not abusing the law.
Yeah.
So with those things in mind, like,
speaking of, I need the Raptor on the show next week, please. tax season's coming up. Tax season's coming up.
No.
Tax season is gone.
Yeah, it's gone, dude. Yeah, it's just gone, dude. Yeah. What are you talking about? Oh no, we have a company together, dude. But you're using my accounts. We're good.
That's why you have Rodrigo.
Yeah, you're good. Thank God. Wait, what were we talking about?
We were talking about subscription services.
Oh, so the idea of ownership has become less popular, and then paying for depreciation has become a trend because it's smarter. It really is. It really is smarter. It's cheaper. It doesn't tie up your capital, and you can do so much more with your money against it. The financial benefits of it are also great. Now, what's the next step from that? And that is subscription models. Subscription models are made by big companies like Cadillac, Porsche, BMW now, obviously.
Yep.
Mercedes is getting into it. All of the big boys are getting into it. And what they're giving you is, say, I'm explaining it super simple. You want to buy a BMW, what we're going to let you is, you can pick, say, 17 cars a year. You pay me $2,500 a month. You have 17 cars a year. You can switch each car 3 times, or you can switch each car 18 times as fast as you want, but you can only keep each car for a month or whatever the rules are. And then you get to go to the dealership and pick whatever car without paying for insurance.
And in fact, you might even have to go to the dealership. A lot of these guys, they just bring it to you as deliver a concierge
service. Yeah. So they're eliminating the dealer. They're eliminating like all those middlemen that should not exist. And they're giving you a lot of cars for the same price. So you're accessing a rental fleet. A fleet.
And the insurance is covered already,
which we talked about the insurance being such a huge thing because some people have a bad driving record.
Yep.
And those guys know that getting one of these cars, the reason why they can't get them is just because of the insurance payment.
Yeah.
That's gone now, homies.
Yeah, and like you were saying, you know, some parents don't want to put their kids on their insurance.
Yeah, because they have more cars.
This is great. You just go lease it on their own. It's standalone for themselves. Mm-hmm. And also another great thing, a lot of like Volvo is doing wear and tear items also. Like your windshield, your wiper blades. Yeah. I don't know if tires or not, but if all that stuff is covered, it's amazing.
Why would you want to buy or lease a car anymore when you can buy or lease a fleet? Yeah. To me, giving me access to that is what I'd ideally want.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now, what I've seen is Volvo is the only one that's doing an affordable service. Right now, there's a $600 a month, give or take.
But it's just one car.
It's just one car. That's the downsides. Everybody else is high level, like a lot of money. For people that you would think are doing a subscription, it's a lot of money. For BMW, their Legend plan, which is the entry level plan for them, is $2,000 a month, and that gives you access to the 530, the 530e, the 540i, the X5, 440i, 440i convertible, and the M2. And then there's an M plan for $3,700 a month, and that includes M5, X5M, X6M, and M4 convertible. All awesome cars, mind you.
How much?
$3,700.
That's not bad.
So what is the lease on an M6?
It's probably going to be around $2,000, $3,000.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. What I wanted to point out here, though, is the trend of the businesses starting with wealthier customers more. Because if wealthier customers adopt this, then so will people that can't really afford these type of cars. Right.
Well, what we're going to see right now is just how that industry does.
But just think about it.
We haven't seen it globally rolled out.
But think about it with flat screen TVs, right? Flat screen TVs, the prices on them early on were very, very expensive.
I remember buying one for a 42 inch, $8,000.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They were super expensive.
No, I remember in Mexico, you had to be like the king of Mexico to have one.
And look, it's a little different. It's a little different, obviously, because there's not a manufacturing like plant that has to be created and a whole like production line that needs to be developed for this. That doesn't have to exist. It's just you need the right people to adopt it. And if they adopt it, then so will the rest of the economy.
Well, I think one of these companies has to really do this on a major state and see how that goes. They need to roll it and just fucking see how it goes. Because everyone here is doing numbers behind the desk and hitting like, these are the projections. If they use the car this much, if they use the car that much, if they use the car this much, and we cut them off right here, we're going to get our money's worth.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then we're going to make even more. You know what I mean? And if they do this, then we can't do that. So what they're doing is behind the desk, behind the computer, they're writing all of this shit down. And as we know, the biggest part of any business is once you give it to the people.
Yep. You know what I'm curious
then
about?
Then it can turn into something completely different. And I know someone's bound to get cars from all of the companies and put them together into one, and that'll be
like a pass, like a car pass.
Like Galpin should do that. Yeah. Galpin can give you like a Ford. They can give you a VW. They can give you a Lincoln. They can give you an Aston. They can give you anything. I mean, any of those crazy fucking things that they have.
Yeah.
They should, like, corporations like that could make a massive dent in the market by them offering this, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the second part of this. Right now, we're going to test this out and see if it's really going to be the new MP4 or if it's going to be the LaserDisc.
I think the tricky thing is, like, one, the asset ownership. You know, these companies owning those assets and the depreciation of them over time, and then also the legalities of how long they're able to keep these cars in use. Like, a lot of rental fleets, they're only able to keep cars in use
for 18 months, right?
Yeah, 18 months. Then you also have like your loaner agencies, like they can only do it for like 3 months and then they have to go to the used car.
3-6 months, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm curious as to what kind of hurdles they have here that they're trying to figure out to get away with it, because they're only testing in very, very, very tiny
markets.
I legit
think it's just money.
Yeah.
I think they are. Clearly, if car companies have shown us something, is that they're very short-sighted, right? Especially with the electric vehicle thing.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
When we're looking at that, what they're doing is, let's just protect our pockets and just demo this out right now. Right. We're not even.
But are they considering like one of these M5s? Is it going to be in service or in use for, you know, 3 years, or do they actually have to get it out after a year and then they're like, what the hell do I do?
Because
with that
it's
car
a brand new way of ownership and subscription. Yeah. There's probably not a law that attacks it directly, so it's probably an open market right now, or there's some sort of a gray area in there. Yeah. That's normally what happens when you're in a brand new business
and I think that's why they're doing it on a small scale, just to work out all the kinks and stuff. Yeah. And you're doing with affluent people who have a little bit better understanding and can work with you.
It's just surprising me because, like, BMW, they're doing it in Nashville. I don't see how anybody's going to adopt this program in Nashville. It doesn't make sense to me. Porsche in Atlanta, I could see that because they have a big Porsche presence there.
And their headquarters are there too.
And then Cadillac is in New York, right? That one I see. That one I can
that
see.
One that one actually totally makes sense.
That one makes
that
sense.
That makes sense.
But order some more Escalades.
Yeah, I'm just surprised. I'm just surprised that we're not seeing this in other like big markets.
Yeah.
Like where people can actually adopt it and you can see it being used the right way.
Just give it some time. They're just terrified terrified of getting to market and not knowing what to do. Because imagine you offer that contract to everyone in California. And 5,000-10,000 people sign up to it.
That's the thing, yeah.
You're going to need 40 to 50,000 cars to be able to...
And staff and this
to be
that,
able like, to demand supply that. And you need to... And, right. what I'm guessing that they're trying to figure out is how they can keep the most cars within the most people. Does that make sense? Like, they're trying to figure out how to get the most people with the least amount of cars to buy.
Absolutely, because then they have to start figuring out, because once it opens up in another city, how are we transferring these cars to the other city? Because the demand is more popular there than it is in the city before, so we need to move inventory and all. There's a lot of kinks that's going to happen here.
Yep.
But then the biggest hurdle of them all is what happens to these cars afterwards.
So, number one, depreciation right now in the car world is hitting us harder than ever before.
Yeah.
Ever before. Because there's too many cars. There's too many options. There's too many models that are great. There's too much competition. And there's too many secondhand cars now. So at that rate, we're looking at people, at demand supply completely being fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And we're jumping into something that's like, you don't even worry about owning these cars. We're just going to loan them to you. But then BMW is going to have to sell them. Cadillac's going to have to sell them.
To Avi.
Mercedes is going to have to sell them to Avi.
Yeah.
And then how is Avi going to move 8 million cars?
Yeah. Actually, can I throw something else out there?
Yeah.
I was just listening to this guy, Kevin O'Leary. He's one of the Shark Tank guys.
Yeah.
He was saying.
Mr. Nice Guy, right?
He was saying in the future, when you're thinking about buying your house, starter house, think about the garage. Because in the future, you may not need that garage anymore because people are Ubering or whatever it is. And so he's like, that space in your mind, just think about it. Like the garage is something that may go away.
But really, you already see it in a way. Like so many people look at their cars like, oh, I'm just going to put it in the driveway instead of the garage. And I'm going to convert the garage into more space for myself.
Yeah,
like,
it's a smart way to go.
Everybody's already doing that.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time of like when they're actually building the house. Do they build that garage?
That's what he's saying. That now these decisions
can
affect you in the future.
You want to buy the house with a garage, with being a garage, and just the space.
Airbnb.
anything.
Obviously, the permits on more square footage and having somebody.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to do that. Yeah. You want to make sure that you buy a big house with a bigger garage that you can close off and access. And that's where the money's at, people.
A little,
and everyone that watches us and listens to us knows what whistles mean.
Yeah, clearly whistles work really well on podcasts.
Absolutely, absolutely. What's next?
Trying to figure out which one I want to go to next. I'm going to ask you this. Right now on the market, there is an F1 license plate. The license plate that says F1 is currently for sale at an unbelievable $20 million.
Yep. Yep.
When does it arrive for you?
Well, so there's...
That's absolutely ridiculous.
So we're talking about London, by the way, everyone, the UK. We're talking about the UK. There's this guy. His last name is Khan, if I'm not mistaken, right? Khan is his last name, buddy. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah, so his last name is Khan. This dude bought that plate in 2007 for $900,000. 10 years later, he's selling it for $20 million.
That's now, more than an actual F1. What's going on?
There's controversy around this. Do you know that they're saying he's not selling it and some others are saying, no, he is and all that stuff. So it's not very clear if it's really for sale or not. But you know what this is?
Testing the market?
There's already a number. It's already floating out. There's already a buzz. He's saying, you know, I'm rich. I don't need the money. I'm all good. So I'm not the one selling it. So what he's doing, he's setting it up so that someone comes in and says, I got to give him the 20 mil so that he can take it.
Yep.
So that's what he's setting himself up to do. Now, a lot of people, and I noticed this on the website, would you spend $20 million on a license plate?
No, I'd call the guy who has F2 and buy it for a fraction of the price, no? a fraction, even F3, no?
I don't care how down the number list
I go. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Like, what about you?
I'm going to put it this way. I wouldn't spend $75 for a plate.
Custom.
I agree. Here.
Leave me at the 50 and I'm good.
Here's the deal. And I was thinking the same thing. And I remember when Rodrigo and I moved to New York together, he had a conversation with someone in his school and someone said, oh my God, someone bought a $5,000 watch or whatever it was. I would never spend that much money on a watch. I would rather help people, feed the needy, whatever. And at that time I was like, that's stupid. Like, you're spending $5,000 on a watch, but also at the same time, I was like, I don't know if you can feed the needy with $5,000 because there's not,
right.
That's a big problem that a lot of people have, that they want to help, but they don't know that they need to help themselves first. Right. It's like when the plane's going down, you want to put the mask on first.
Exactly.
So you can help the others.
Exactly.
It's the same concept and not a lot of people follow that. So I lost my train of thought.
Rodrigo,
About the $5,000. So I saw someone on salamandrian.com on the website came in and said, oh my God, what kind of fucking joke would buy something for 20, like a plate for 20 million. But let me tell you this, as someone who's gotten more and more money, thank God, I can tell you, the more money you get, the more disposable income you have, the more shit that you can buy, the more that you want dumb shit, because it doesn't affect you.
The money won't.
I'm doing is just I'm just giving you guys the what goes into people's minds to get to that mindset. Place. Yeah. And not everyone does that. A lot of people that get rich that are super rich are super cheap, like super cheap. Mm-hmm. And some others are not. Some others like to spend money on dumb shit, whatnot, whatever. But the logic goes like that. You always go, I would never spend that much money on shit like that. And once you have so much money, you go, who gives a shit?
Yeah. The irony of Rodrigo's the irony of Rodrigo's Rolex story is that now Rodrigo has $5,000 worth of diamonds just in his Rolex.
That's right. So I get what he's doing. I get what the other, if someone's going to buy it, I get why he's buying it. I personally, this is what I would do with $20 million. You ready?
Yeah.
I buy an $18 million building, put $2 million worth of upgrades, go to the bank. They'll probably value the building at $25 million. Get a loan on it for 50% so that you don't over-leverage yourself. That way you have $12.5 million coming back to you. With those $12.5 million, I'd buy a $10 million house, put $2.5 million into it, go to the bank and get a credit line against 50% of the value of the house, which at that point should be $17 million, right? So you're going to get a credit line of half of the $17 million. How much is that?
Eight and a half.
Then you go buy a BP23 old cash. You go buy an S-Class old cash. Mm-hmm. You go invest $3 million in an incubator. And then you have almost $40, $50 million worth of assets.
Jesus.
That will keep appreciating.
That was incredible.
What would you rather buy? The plate or make a fortune in a palace?
If you have $20 million, send it to Alejandro now. He'll spend it for you. He knows exactly what he's doing.
I got you. Just send me the $20 million. Yeah. Yeah. I still mad respect to this dude that has a plate that's worth $20 million. Good for you.
Two things of this guy. One, does he actually have an F1?
I don't know. I think so.
If he doesn't have an F1, this is one of the most baller moves I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, he's sitting here out leveraging F1 owners, like with a plate that costs more than their car.
And F1 itself.
Yes. And F1 itself. God,
You could never buy these plates.
Because
London. It would be a waste of money for you. You don't put front plates on.
That would be even baller.
By the way, even more baller, I own the F1 plate and I just have gas dealer frames.
I hate the back.
That is baller right there.
The other thing, good on the UK for only charging £16 and 66 sterling, however you say it, and then £80 in service fees.
I know. I love that they put it in the breakdown. At that point, guys, just give it.
There's a transfer fee of 80 sterling pounds.
80 pounds.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I wonder if to pay income tax on that or, you know.
No, that dude's going to have to pay gains.
Gains, capital gains.
But the thing is, in the UK, at least back in the day when I was making movies, there was a really interesting tax incentive. And it's called a tax scheme, even though it's not a scheme.
Okay.
That's what Brits call it. Mm-hmm. And don't mind. I'm not going to remember it perfectly, okay? But it was, if your company made a certain amount of money and you had capital gains, you can do, instead of paying, say, if you make 10 million pounds and you have to pay 1.5 million in capital gains, you can grab that 1.5 million and invest it in a certain type of project.
Gotcha.
In a certain type of vehicle, financing vehicle, that will get you a write-off and will count as an investment, and you can make more money off of this one
gotcha,
too.
Gotcha.
And you can put people together in these up to 20 million pounds or 10 million pounds.
Does sound like a great scheme.
You like that? You like
sounds
that?
Sounds like a great scheme.
And that's what that guy could do. So he can even make more money
off his
by making more money. Isn't that incredible? That's the thing. Once you know this rule here and there, you can just flip it over and more and more and more and more and more like crazy. And that's off of one fucking license plate, which I would have never, if you would have told me, hey man, you got to invest all of your money in this one thing. I promise you in 10 years, it's going to be worth 20 times whatever it's worth. I'd be like, no, it's not.
Like, no way.
And here we are talking about your whole life savings
going to the plate. You just have the plate. You're homeless. You're just like, I got a plate.
Can we hurry up and go pick up that 730S plate?
Oh yeah. So the 730S plate came in and
how much is that worth now?
I think easily the $20 fee, transfer fee.
It's like 50 bucks, no?
That's what I paid.
It's 50 bucks, but then there's a transfer fee that you have to include as well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
I'm never selling my plates. Never.
You said in your investment scheme just a minute ago that you would buy a BP-23.
That's right.
Did you see the BP-23 sculptures that have been going out?
I saw. So these guys, McLaren, put together these beautiful sculptures of the interior of the cockpit of the BP-23 for people, like for owners, to get like a feel of it on their desk. Mind you, I don't think these, for the most part, most of these people don't work because they're always online on Instagram talking about their BP-23. But for those of those who are really sitting behind their desk and looking at it all day, God, apparently, that looks beautiful.
Apparently it took 100 hours.
What? How? Yeah,
100 hours of work.
How? We have a great company in China that can just do molds for
I think it said it sits 5 hours in a CNC machine, which is, you know,
like the one
what Eric uses. So maybe we'll get Eric to try to make
all we need. Hang on. All we need is to use our good relationship at McLaren to contact them, get the cat files. And then just have Eric print it.
Or
we can go back to reality where we don't have a good relationship with McLaren and just dream about this.
Or just tell Eric and he'll like with his eyes like turn into a cat file. We've seen him do that.
We should actually
ask him.
One of the most underappreciated people on earth, for those of you that follow the vlog, might be Eric.
Yeah.
He's a fucking genius.
He's a monster when it comes to this stuff.
Like, it's like when you watch that time lapse of the Rolls video and you see like just him bouncing around, like just constantly putting things together like a Lego set.
Yeah. It's fucking insane.
My favorite thing about Eric is the amount of research he does before he does anything.
Yes, yes, yes.
He dives deep into
it. Him and Ray both on that.
Both. But don't get me wrong. Ray's obviously fucking, he's like we say in Mexico, he's a crack at it. Like he's crack. He's the best at it. But Eric, he just has like a, every time I see Eric and I ask him, hey, do you think we can do this? I can hear his brain process.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
And he loves the challenges.
Like he's like, blah, 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 and he instantly, you can see him just go through all of the options and everything. No, it won't work. It's instant. It's so crazy.
You know, he doesn't like hugs, by the way.
I know.
He's not a hug guy.
I know. But with me, he knows he's got no choice.
So when I was working on the Galpin Rocket, Let's Talk About Cars, your video, the review that you did, the Spanish one.
Which, by the way, turned out amazing.
That was a cool
one. Amazing video, thank you.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I was going through a lot of Gas's archives on when they built the rocket and when they unveiled it. You know who they had on stage with Bo and Henrik?
Who?
Ray.
No.
Ray was sitting up there, like doing the waves.
Was he wearing
all the pictures.
Was he wearing a suit?
No, he had on his Gas shirt.
Oh.
Like the one, the Gas bowling shirt.
Of course. That's awesome.
I know. I loved it.
Now, here's a question. What car will be done first and ready for customers? My second Raptor or the Rocket?
Oh,
the second
Raptor.
My Raptor doesn't have to go, and this is not a jab at anything. My Raptor doesn't have to go through one of the processes that Galpin Rocket has to go through because of the big transformation on that car. Mine, we don't need to get this special agency to come in and certify the car. I can't say what it is, obviously.
Immigration?
Yes. It's not immigration, everyone listening.
Will this have an actual proper sticker on it?
Mine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it, or no, is no, no. it like mine, a second sheet?
No, no, no. It's going to be a stickered car with the name of it.
That's awesome.
Holy yes. Shit.
That's so awesome.
That's why we needed gas, like 100%. Yeah. But for the rocket, gas needed an extra partner, and we don't, I think. So far, so good. So my goal right now is to be able to make it through the build process without getting flagged and tagged by those guys.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, then we come to market instantly.
Yeah, I'm sure Eric can work around those parameters.
Well, that's what they've been telling me.
Yeah.
Is if you want to do A, B, and C, like
we're good.
No. If you want to do A, B, and C,
yeah,
we're not going to be able to do that here. Gotcha. We need to go and get a safety inspection here.
Gotcha.
And that's why we didn't go with certain items that were going to take a year or two years.
To get certified.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Like as entrepreneurs, we teach ourselves, you got to do the simplest, easiest, most accessible thing, way business instantly so that you can see how it grows and develop instead of complicating your life with the most. You're not going to build Facebook and hope that people go and know how to use it. You know what I mean? You let one page just become Facebook. And that's been that.
Well, the last one that I wanted to touch on today is the spy shots of the Aventador SVJ.
I love that we're talking about this car because I'm so conflicted.
I am too. I mean,
can you explain a little bit of what people have seen?
Okay, so everything that people have seen so far is the exhaust is in a different place on the it's an Aventador SV, and I'm sure it's going to have the platform of the Aventador S, not the SV.
It does. That's what they said.
So you will have that, but the exhaust is different. The wing is massive. It's a fixed massive wing on the back of it that has this weird angle-ish thing to it where it's kind of like starting out wide and then it's veering back in. Well, obviously there's photos on the screen right now. But it's supposed to be the Performante version of the Aventador SV, which I thought the SV was the Performante version of the Aventador. So I'm really confused about what's happening.
Number one. The Aventador refresh thing that happened with the Aventador S and the change that happened to the car has never happened before in a Lamborghini lineup.
Okay.
So let us be clear about that. Number two, an SV off the same model has never come out before. Like two SVs off one model. We've only had one SV. Look at the Mercy SV, right? Like that there's the Mercy? Yeah, the Mercy SV. That's right. There's not many of those. The other weird thing about this car is Lamborghini sending out contracts.
What does that mean to you?
Oh, they are sending out.
They are.
Oh, because yes. I did hear this from another contact as well.
A friend of mine called me and said, are you getting a SVJ? And I said, I want to, but I don't know what to do. And he goes, I just got the contract. I think they're only making 400.
200 and 200, right?
They don't know.
What I heard was 200 and then 200 roadsters.
I don't know. That's
I think the way they do the numbering is they get see how many, like, hey, how many you think? And they go, I don't know, maybe 200. And what? Everyone's like, by the way, maybe 300.
100%. That's how they feel it out. Absolutely. So with this one, is the first time Lamborghini's coming out with an SV twice with the same car, but the first time they're using the name Jota off. Aside from like another epic model, the Miura Jota it's a Miura Jota, the last one.
And I'm sorry, it's not Jota, right? It's
Jota. In Spanish, it's Jota.
How do you think people are going to pronounce it here?
Jota.
Yeah.
So I think that, and also what conflicts me with this car is I really love my Performante to the point where I'm obsessed with, and I'm having like honestly FOMO of having to sell it once my 2RS comes in because what's the fucking point? I don't know. Now, I want that car really bad. And you know why? It's got rear wheel steering. I think it's got a double clutch gearbox.
Does the S have
the
a
V12?
V12, you see the exhaust, exactly.
You saw the build quality of the interior of the Performante.
Yeah.
In theory, this car has everything to win.
Yeah, the potential to
like,
be great.
It has every single one of those checkboxes marked.
The doors.
Yeah, it's gonna have all that. It's gonna have that. They're saying that possibly 800 horsepower or more.
And it's only and I'm using quotations for those of you guys listening. It's only gonna cost $520,000.
Yeah.
What the fuck? This is why it makes no sense. And also, mind you, Lamborghini's notoriously famous for making the same fucking car, putting lines on it, call it a different edition, and people buying it and losing their ass off. Yeah. Ask any person who bought an Aventador Mirror Edition. How's that going today? Or let me spoiler alert, not good.
Right?
Did anybody actually end up getting a Mirror Edition? I know in the news we saw them get a Mirror Edition, but I've never seen an actual Mirror Edition in person other than like on the grandstand.
You know what happened? People got them and were like, this is just a fucking Aventador, and sold them immediately.
But still, like, you would see it driving around. I've never seen one anywhere.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, me either.
It's only been on a grandstand on an unveil. That's it.
That's it. I don't know.
By the way, you know this is a send-off. I think this is a send-off model.
I thought the S was a send-off.
No, so normally the SV is the send-off of the car. And then they made the S, and I was like,
we're in the new era of send-off, send-offs.
You know what they're saying? There was the Aventador SV, and then they came out with the Aventador S. So this is like the Aventador S VJ.
Like they added, right?
Yeah, it's
like,
the V. It's the VJ. It's not the SVSV.
It's also the VJ.
I'm getting the VJ.
Hey, guys, I'm getting the Lamborghini SVJ.
You may want that checked.
That's it on our side. Farghini, are you bringing good news to us today?
Do you have any good news or bad news? So I guess we're gonna go
good news.
Good news and bad news with Farshad.
Don't snooze on the bad news.
Okay, here we go. Ferrari.
And there's good news for Ferrari.
Yeah, there is good news. They've won back-to-back F1 races this year already.
Congratulations.
Guys, back-to-back.
Guys, love you all. What happened last year?
Just saying.
Last year, we called it. It was the same thing. Ferrari started hard. Everyone on Twitter messaged me. And also, I used to be a total dick and just like egg on people, like keep going at it and just fuck with them. But last year, when people just fucking tweeted at me nonstop, Ferrari, Ferrari, Ferrari. And I was like, guys, it's going to go away. And then it went away and they all got quiet. I didn't go after them. So now there's like one or two brave guys coming back out, like the same guys out of the 50, 60 that I got
before. Stay strong, boys. Stay strong.
Two or three. Hey, why don't you say anything about Ferrari now, bro? Because there it is. Let's just wait until the year is done.
And listen,
if you guys win this year, that's going to be awesome. Don't think that, I prove you wrong. That's awesome. Then Ferrari's moving forward and doing what we want Ferrari to do.
Hey,
and that's exactly what we're looking for.
If they win this year, will you wear a sweater of choice?
No question about it.
Okay, great.
If Ferrari, let's make it official. If Ferrari wins this year's F1 championship, I'll wear whatever outfit you guys put together for me. Ferrari outfit. Ferrari outfit.
Glasses and everything.
By the way, yeah, it has to be decent where it's not naked or anything like that.
Don't worry. I'll get Rodrigo to help me with that.
So done.
Sorry.
Done and done.
Farshad, I'm sorry. Okay, You're itching. Get in there.
So what's the good news of Ferrari?
Okay, so Ferrari. A 900 horsepower supercharged Ferrari 599 debuted at the opening race of Formula Drift.
Oh, yeah.
A 900 horsepower. Amazing, right? That's really
good
news.
Be the bad news.
Marcia, don't.
Oh, boy.
Don't.
Upon the start of the race, it immediately caught on fire and was unable to complete the race. Bing!
By the way, this is true.
This is true. No. It actually started strong. I saw it. The drift started. The other car hits the Ferrari. The other car is out instantly, which this is. And so essentially, you're looking at the Ferrari and it starts its first drift, right? The Ferrari won.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's exactly what's going to happen in Formula One. And then Ferrari catches up in flames and it's done.
And by the way, guys, just note, it's okay. It's okay to make jokes about this because the guy is okay. Everyone's joking about it.
I didn't know he was okay. He's okay. Oh, good.
But that was actually the first time a Ferrari has been in Formula
Drift.
In the drift.
Which was super cool. When I saw the car lined up to start, I was like, I'm fucking seeing things. Yeah.
A couple of guys have had Ferrari engines, but this is the first time that somebody's actually brought a Ferrari in. Yeah.
That's such a good engine, the V12 from Ferrari.
Oh, good luck on his resale value on that, huh? Beep, boop, boop.
Well, it burnt.
The good news is he has no roll back any miles, right? Beep, boop, boop. Okay. Here we go. Subaru. This is actually a double good news.
That's for Corey.
Subaru in the news. Yeah,
that's good news
Corey,
for Corey.
Yeah. Corey, good news. Listen to this. Here we go. Subaru WRX to keep the manual gearbox alive for the next generation.
Hey, that's actually really good
news.
Amazing
news. This is double good news.
Especially for Corey. What's the bad news?
We get one more Fast and Furious, boys.
By the way, Corey, have they even used a Subaru in any of the movies?
So WRX? That's a great
question. I don't.
Yeah, of course they have. They have to. Yeah, how can you have another
Corey's saying in one of the most recent ones, maybe, but yeah. I don't remember.
Guys, please let us know how many Subarus that we've seen in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, that's why.
But will this Subaru for real come with a 49 gears?
Yeah, of course, for the movie. Here we go. Land Rover, Jaguar Land Rover, because, you know, they're the same company.
Of course.
They're in the news. Listen to this. Jaguar Land Rover is eager to build cars in the U.S.
That is fucking good news.
Yeah.
What's the bad news?
Guys, employees are having a hard time working on the other side.
Oh, my God. That is a dad joke, Farshad. No, that is a dad joke.
I had to go. That's why Fargini buried that one in the middle.
Of course. Alfa Romeo in the news.
Really good news.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
This is great news. 641 horsepower Giulia Coupe coming as Alfa's most potent car ever.
That's a fucking bomb. That really does sound bomb. A coupe?
How's their bad news?
Coupe.
What's the bad news?
This will also be Alfa's most potent market adjustment ever as well.
You know what? That's the bad news for anyone that buys the first one.
Because in two months,
they instantly drop $10,000.
Two double market. Ooh. Okay. Koenigsegg in the news.
What's the good news for Koenigsegg?
It's really for a lot of people. Yeah, yeah. Koenigsegg delivers final Agera RS. They're all delivered.
That is good news. They sold out.
Yeah, they're all gone.
What's the bad news?
Guys, now all the recall notifications can be sent out.
Speaking of recall information, I got recall on my Expedition right now.
What?
350,000 trucks and expeditions were recalled. The gear selector, the transmission selector.
What's wrong with
it? I don't know yet.
Can you put a Raptor one in?
I don't know yet, but I got a recall. F-150s and which I don't know if the Raptor falls into it as well, but F-150s and Expeditions, 350,000 in the U.S.
Well, here's the deal. If my F-150 got a recall, it's already the dealer. Raptor got a recall, it's already the dealer.
By the way, you never get these trucks back. They just stay there for work or recalls all the time.
I think that's going to be it for us today. Is there anything else, Fargini?
Is there anything else, buddy? That's it.
Hey, guys, thank you so very much for listening, for watching us. Everybody at Salamandry.com, thank you very much for sharing with us all of the subjects and topics that we just talked about right now. It's been a social pleasure. It's been stellar looking and seeing you guys and hanging out and spending some time with you. Thank you very much for your attention. We'll see you next time. Peace. We never approve these messages, by the way, just to be clear.